بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأكل طعاما في ستة من أصحابه، فجاء عربي فأكله بلقمتين، فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إنه لو سمى لكفاكم. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. عائشة رضي الله عنها narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion was partaking of food together with six of the companions. As we mentioned previously, it was the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would not eat alone. He would regularly share the food with the companions. And on this occasion, which Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions to us, there were six other sahaba sharing the dasturkhan with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What also would happen is that it was not necessary that all of them would be present from the beginning to the end. As we've seen in the other incidents, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was eating, sometimes someone would come, would find them eating and would join the dasturkhan. So we learn an important etiquette from this, that we should eat and share our food in such a manner that there is not much protocol. It becomes easy for anyone else who wants to join the meal to come and sit down. And another important thing we learn from the mizaj and the temperament of sunnah is that, for example, as we see in this incident, in this instance with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were six other sahaba. Then someone else came and joined. And at times more than one person would come. But you will not find in any riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, would tell that person to hold on, or tell the two or three more that have come to hold on, and some extra intizam would take place. Whatever was there, the trust and reliance on Allah was that this will be sufficient. There's no need to have other protocol or to make other arrangements. Nowadays, whenever we invite anybody, first question we have in mind, or the masturat are very, very concerned, how many people are coming? And we have this mindset, if the number is 4 or 5 that is coming, then we'll prepare for 10 and 12. And more often than not, there's a lot of wastage that takes place. The mizaj and temperament of Shariat is, one is, share the food. The other is, try and avoid unnecessary protocol. There should be simplicity. And place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that whatever we've prepared, inshallah, not if we prepared food what we think is sufficient for 4 and 5 people, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ta'amul ithnain yakfil arba. He said, the food of a mu'min, a believer, that you prepare for 2 people will be sufficient for 4 people. So we shouldn't have this mindset, worrying too much about numbers, etc. Obviously, for reasons of intizam, you will be concerned what is the number. But after that, if it goes extra or to over-prepare, all these things, we don't find any basis in it, in the mizaj and temperament of sunnah when it comes to sharing food. Nevertheless, coming back to this incident, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sharing the food with 6 of the companions. A Bedouin came. And in this instance, although it is not clearly mentioned, it's mentioned later on, when he joined the food, he did not say Bismillah. And as we've mentioned in most of the incidents thus far, repeatedly we find this coming across, which is why, like I said, some of the scholars were of the opinion that to take Allah's name before eating, they used to consider it wajib. One is, in it is acknowledgement of Allah's favor. In it is humiliation. In it is humility, development of humility, moving away from pride, boastfulness. In it is lowering ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very, very importantly, as this theme keeps being mentioned in the various riwayat, that you are not allowing shaitan an opportunity to partake of meals with you. We find that if one is not in the habit of saying Bismillah, from all these hadiths, what we learn? We learn that shaitan is joining you in the meal. And when one develops affinity with shaitan or with anyone, if you're regularly in the company of someone, then this leads to love and obedience for that person, and it leads to emulation and following that person. Today we often ask ourselves, why is it particularly amongst a lot of youngsters there is this tendency or this leaning towards vice, towards Allah's disobedience? Very often it is these simple things. In our homes, have we brought those children up in such a way that when they sit to eat, they take Allah's name? Imagine if someone is not taking Allah's name, not in the habit of saying Bismillah, eats with the left hand instead of the right hand. It means for years you have been sharing your meals with shaitan. For years there's no barakah. So obviously, through this, Allah protect us, a love and affinity, an association with shaitan is created, which will cause within our mentality a leaning towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَأْكُلْ تَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِي. He said, don't share your food except with pious people. Not that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants you to banish people away from your dastarkhan, but why say this? لَا يَأْكُلْ تَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِي. In other words, the company you keep, who you spend time with, has an effect on you. So if you spend time in the pious, in the company of the pious, share your food with the pious, etc., then it is hoped that that will rub off on you. Conversely, if you don't read Bismillah, you're constantly in the company of shaitan, etc., then this also has a negative effect upon one. Shaitan, inna shaitan yajri fil insan majrad dam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like how your blood flows through your body, shaitan flows through your body. He's always trying to get close to you. Illa man asamahullah, except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects. So these are our defense mechanisms. Very, very important to take Allah's name. In any case, coming back to this incident, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sharing the food. Faja'a Arabiyun, a Bedouin came. Whatever remained of the food, we spoke of barakah, that no protocol would there would be to arrange extra food if the number of participants increased. There was this trust, this reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this instance, Aisha radiallahu anha says, this person came and whatever, and within ate two morsels and the food was all finished. فَأَكَلَهُ بِلُقْمَتَيْنِ. Two morsels and all the food that seven people were sharing suddenly is finished. To this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ama innahu lo samma lakafaku." If this last person that came had read Bismillah, had taken Allah's name, then this food would have been sufficient. In other words, not only we all would have eaten to our stomach full, to our heart's content, even more could have come, and the food would have been sufficient. This is the nahusat. This is the negative effect of the one person not saying Bismillah, not taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name when partaking of the food. Wa Abi Umama radiyallahu anhu anna an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha rafa'a ma'idatahu qal alhamdulillah kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi ghayra makfiyin wala muwadda'in wala mustaghnan anhu rabbana. Rawahu al-Bukhari. This next hadith, in it we are taught one of amongst the many masnoon du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when it comes to du'as, one is we should have this fervor, this drive within us to learn the du'as which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Not just learn them with their meanings. Learn them, pondering over them. Because we find that they are great lessons of iman and great lessons of tawakkul and trust and dependence and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we can learn from the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find a lot of times nowadays on this social media and on these chat groups, we find sometimes du'as being circulated, we find wazifas being circulated, etc. More often than not, those things are not even established directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes it's some pious person or somebody's experience, no problem with that. But as far as possible, go directly to the source. For example, in this instance, this dua is narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. So this is an absolutely authentic hadith. And in it we learn what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read when the dastarkhan was being lifted up. In other words, after eating, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The dua itself is not a lengthy one, nor is it very short. It's not, obviously, it's not going to be easy for us to just learn like that, but we should try and learn it, and try and learn it with its meaning. It's a Bukhari Sharif hadith. So it's an absolutely authentic dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read. And in this instance, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu says, Kana idha rafa'a ma'idatahu. When the ma'ida in Arabic means the dastarkhan. When the dastarkhan was being lifted up. In other words, after having partaken of a meal, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will read. So inshallah we'll continue, subhanAllah.